Welcome to Meeting Point BWI, the podcast of Baden-Württemberg International. We want to talk about how companies and scientific institutions can internationalize and how the German state of Baden-Württemberg supports them with its foreign and business representative offices. My name is Margaret Heckel, and I'm looking forward to meeting Sadev Sandhu today. He's a representative of the state of Baden-Württemberg in India, based in Delhi. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Sandhu.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to talk to you and talk to the Germans about what is really happening in India today.
Yes, we're so glad to have you. Mr. Sandhu, every sixth human on the planet will soon be an Indian, and the workforce will be growing well into the 2040s and 2050s. Is this the biggest advantage of India compared to China?
Absolutely. We are saying this is going to be India's century. And there are seven factors that I've highlighted to ensure that we have this growth to make us even the third largest economy in the world. First and foremost, as compared to China, we have a huge demographic dividend. India's median age is around 28 years, while China's median age is 39 and rising. India will add over 100 million workers to its labor force by 2040. And China is expected to lose this 100 million people in the same time. We have a large, young, and increasingly skilled workforce that supports productivity and consumption. This gives India a long runway for productivity, consumption, and entrepreneurship.
Mr. Sandhu, India is currently the fastest growing of the world major economies. What are the key drivers of economic growth?
I would put them as three major factors: demographic dividend, financial inclusion, services sector, domestic consumption, government reforms and infrastructure investment, global supply chain realignments, China plus one, and a stable macroeconomic framework with very prudent monetary policy, tax reforms like GST, and improved case of doing business, and the new element that the government of India has started on the 1st of February, they have created a deregulation commission to open up the economy even more to make it world competitive.
So is there a typical scene in India if one would come there now? That exemplifies this new India?
Life has completely changed. The skyline and infrastructure, glass-clad office towers, metro systems, express highways. Bangalore's outer ring and Delhi ring roads are now host global headquarters, co-working hubs and startup campuses. So that's the physical structure. Tech and startup boom. Bangalore and Hyderabad are the two big hubs and has exploded with 117 unicorn startups valued at $354 billion. Consumer behavior, shopping malls, luxury brands, purchases of two-wheelers, fast applications for fast food delivery, digital wallets. Middle-class families are now spending more on experiences, gadgets, and education than ever before. Employment and aspirations. Because of the penetration of television, job seekers are now aiming for tech, design entrepreneurship, and global roles, many working remotely for international firms. There's a cultural shift for job security towards innovation and impact. Cafe culture and global influence. You'll be surprised when I tell you, Domino's franchise is the largest franchise in India across the world. It's the biggest franchise in the world and it's out of India.
That's a pizza franchise, isn't it?
Domino's pizza franchise, you're absolutely right.
So would you say India is a better China now?
I don't think we should compare the two. China has a 25-year head start on India. They started their reform movement in the 80s. We started in 91. They are not a democracy. Our process of change is much slower because we have to take everybody with us. And after a gap of almost 35 years, we've had the first single-party majority government in 2014. And the last 10 years have shown the impact of what a single party majority government can do, even though they have coalition partners. But the largest party, BJP, is singularly the largest that can, as running the government. They have already been in power for 10 years. This is the third term that they have come in with not as much majority, but a very stable government. So because of this, India will grow, and that's the huge opportunity for German business to look at India now.
So let's look at Indo-German trade, because it has reached a new record high in 2024, which was all driven by German exports to India. Machinery is currently the most important export good from Germany to India. What other products are there and which are interesting from a Baden-Württemberg perspective?
So with the new trade war that's happening and all kinds of tariffs that are being imposed, India offers a huge opportunity because of its local market and consumption. So I will highlight the areas where opportunities exist for manufacturing, even for local markets, and then use that as a base to export. Automotive components and engineering, that's one huge area. Mercedes-Benz, Bosch, Mahle, and ZF are well positioned to supply this demand. Bosch has an R&D center. Mercedes has an R&D center. Next point is chemicals and pharmaceutical equipment. Here, Germany is very strong. This is where it's a huge opportunity for them to come and penetrate into the market. Industrial automation and smart factory tech, robotics, sensors, smart production lines, and all this under the program Make in India and Industry 4.0 gives a huge opportunity. And SME and tech leaders from Stuttgart and Karlsruhe are increasingly exporting to Indian firms and joint ventures. Green technology and environment engineering, under which I would put wastewater management, air filtration, energy efficient systems, clean tech sectors like solar inverters, wind components, and hydrogen systems. Another very critical area, which is not tapped into a large extent, is measuring instruments and precision tools. So, for example, Carl Zeiss and Vought Group are increasing their supplies to India. And that offers a huge, huge opportunity. Beyond machinery, automotive components, chemicals and pharmaceutical equipment, industrial automation, green technologies and precision tools, all these are the strengths of Baden-Württemberg, and they have a high demand for India.
What would you say are the biggest challenges, especially if companies entering the market are smaller and don't have the same resources as the big players?
Yeah, so we have to understand there is a lot of confusion in India, the structure, but there is a method to the madness. First point I would say, if you're coming to India, English, of course, is very, very essential, so that if you can't communicate in English, you have a huge handicap. Think long term. India is not a place where you come for a quick turnaround and make money and get out. It has to be a long-term approach. Try and find a right local partner, but it's also possible that you come on your own and don't have to take a partner, because there's enough talent available in the Indian population for you to hire directly. You need to adapt to local needs. While I say that, you adapt to local needs, but you also need to bring your people that you're going to work with in India to your environment in Germany and give them a deep immersion into how Germans think, how they work. It's much easier to get people from India to Germany for a higher success rate than to send people from Germany to India.
That's a really interesting advice you're giving. So you're saying don't rely on expats and instead look for young, very well educated people from India to take to Baden-Württemberg and immerse them in your company.
Yeah, for training, in fact, today you have a range of well-qualified, experienced employees all the way down from 55, 60 years old down to 20-year-olds. So you need, for senior management, you have already people who are experienced. They may not have that much of a German orientation. Therefore, it's much better to bring people from India to your setup in Germany, train them, and then send them back. The other very good reason why India has now giving these opportunities, we have the PLI scheme, that is the production-linked incentives. If you come under that, you get all kinds of assistance from the government. I already mentioned to you about the local talent and presence. The other very important factor which gives the German companies a bigger opportunity than all others is quality and after-sales service. Once you sell a product or sell a service, you're still there to support the buyer and not say, well, you've paid me the money and now you're on your own. This is the biggest part, which is a support, a new element that will come from a German company. However, I also have to point out the challenges that are there for anybody who's going into India. The regulations are complex and the bureaucracy has red tape. That is all being knocked down. The other point which you have to really focus on, the market is very highly competitively priced on pricing. And a local person will buy a machine from China and replace it after 10 years instead of buying a machine from Germany, which will last 100 years. German machines are, I would say, over-engineered. And because they're over-engineered, they come at a much higher price. So price sensitivity is something that he has to be completely aware of.
And are there special zones where they could come in with special regulations?
Not really. Unless it's only an export-oriented unit, then you have to go into a specific area. Otherwise, you can go into any part. The fact is, location of where the factory should be, where the production should base himself, depends on many factors. Where is the raw material coming from? What is the logistics element of his product? Where is his customer base? Is it all over the country? Is it only the West Coast? Is it only in the South? All these various factors will determine where he should locate his manufacturing facility. Talent is available across. There's not an issue of getting talent to wherever you put your factory. So logistics is more the important part that you have to look at when you're looking at locating your factory. Incentives are across the country. If you come under Make in India program and you get incentives, for example, I mentioned about production-linked incentives. Just to share with you, Foxconn has moved to India for production of Apple telephones. And today, 40% of telephones for Apple are being manufactured in India. Mm.
We've already talked a lot about the Made in India program, and we also want to remind our listeners that we'll have extensive show notes with charts and information, which you were so kind to provide for us. So there will be much information in the show notes, which we can direct our listeners to for all these details. Mr. Sandhu, we've already talked about the cultural diversity, so there are quite a few stereotypes to be heard if one is talking about your country. Can we run through them together?
Yeah. What in terms of what would you say? What are stereotypes?
Like the stereotype that India is chaotic, loud, and disorganized.
Yes, that is absolutely true. India is loud. It has a lot of color. It is disorganized. There is no traffic rules, even though you get a ticket for doing sometimes, which is you're not even aware of. It is chaotic. But within that chaotic situation, there is a meaning to the madness. So once you are there and you start to understand how the country functions, you will be able to navigate it. That should not be an issue at all.
Okay. Then there's this saying that time zone in India is regularly called India Standard Time, but sometimes say IST stands for Indian Stretch Time, meaning that if you want somebody to be at your office at 2 p.m., you better tell them to be there at 1:45.
Yeah, that is a very important element that you've just raised. IST is not Indian Standard Time, but Indian Stretchable Time. People are not that particular about keeping time. So that is an element that Germans will have to adjust to and make sure that the people that they work with begin to understand that. So it is only a small hurdle. The people that are already working in India have been able to surmount that by making sure that the people they're working with understand what punctuality means. And the other thing is, The Indians are very, very polite. They would not quickly say no. They'll say maybe. And for you to figure out that maybe, what does that maybe mean? Is it a yes? Is it a maybe? Or is it a no? These kind of elements is something that somebody will have to learn. And you can only do that while being in the country. There's no tuition, there's no lesson that he can learn except by just being there.
And we also have you, thankfully, because you're the representative of Baden-Württemberg and you can also help companies navigate. So that's wonderful. Mr. Sandu, to sum up, if an entrepreneur from Baden-Württemberg knows nothing or hardly anything about India, its society, culture, politics and economy, are there books and films you would recommend to him or her?
Yeah, I would recommend two books. One is called The Billionaire Raj by James Crabtree. That's a fantastic book on the economy, inequality, and the business, how it functions. And the other one is by one of our ex-diplomats, who's now a politician, Mr. Pavan Varma. The name of the book is Being Indian. And that tells you a lot more about the culture and the psychology and the contradictions that exist, coexist happily within the country. And then, of course, there's a very interesting film made by Ritesh Batra called The Lunchbox. This can be humor, this can be fun, and it's a good way to start to understand India.
Great. And we also have that in our show notes for our listeners to check up upon. And to sum up, Mr. Sandu, we like to ask our guests to complete three sentences at the end of the podcast. And I would also like to ask you the same. And our first sentence is, when I come back to India after traveling, I always look forward to...
the vibrant chaos, the warm hospitality, incredible food, and the feeling that anything is possible. And of course, meeting family and friends.
Wonderful. The next question is, anyone coming to India for the first time should definitely try the following traditional dish?
Oh, that's a tough question, because from the north of India to the south of India, there are 15 different types of cuisines. From vegetarian to non-vegetarian to not so hot to very hot to dry food to curry food to meats. So it's very, very diverse. So I guess whoever is coming there will just have to try it out and see what fits his palate best. I've already talked to you about Domino's being the largest franchise, and also want to share with you Nestle and both Hindustan Levers have been very successful in launching noodles in India, which is a complete foreign food. So the Indian palate is very, very diverse, and it's all open to try.
Sounds interesting. So our last sentence would be, in 10 years, a typical headline about India will be the following.
I think it'll be shorter than 10, it'll be sooner than 10 years. India emerges the world's leading innovation hub and green energy powerhouse. We have already committed, whatever we committed to Paris Accord to be done by 2030, we've already achieved that. So I think it'll be India emerges as India's world's leading innovation country.
Okay, and at that point, we're certainly going to talk again. So Mr. Sandu, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here at Meeting Point BWI.
Thank you for having me. And for the Deutschen, die das zuhören, ich bin immer da mit euch in der Hand zu nehmen und durch den Amazon durchzuleiten.
So wonderful. We could even have it in German. Thank you so much, Mr. Sadhu, for being here. And for our listeners, there's no question that the current situation presents with challenges, but challenges are always opportunities. And we hope that this discussion has shown you a few ways in which we can remain an open, internationally networked economy and continue to expand this. Baden-Württemberg International, as well as the foreign offices and business representative offices, will continue to be at your side in the future with information, services and personal advice, like Mr. Sandu today. And of course, with this podcast, Meeting Point BWI. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back for the next episode of Meeting Point BWI.